Welcome to Tuesday Cafe with Sean Canan. I'm Tom Scherberger, filling in for news director Sean Canan, who is on a special project. Today we're going to be talking about how the government is working harder all the time to keep things from us. While transparency is vital to a functioning democracy, some people we elect to represent us don't see it that way. This happens to be National Sunshine Week, created more than 20 years ago right here in Florida. The Florida Society of Newspaper Editors started it in response to Florida legislators creating scores of new exemptions to the state's public records law. More than 20 years ago. Later in the show, we'll talk by phone in Tallahassee with longtime public records advocate Barbara Peterson about how little things have changed with the legislature, and in many ways, are worse. But first, joining me in the studio this morning is someone who had a recent experience trying to get public records, records that belong to you and me. Justin Garcia is a reporter with the Tampa Bay Times who has earned a reputation, starting with Creative Loafing, for digging up information the government doesn't want you to see. He joins us today to share a story about his recent experience trying to get personnel records from the Tampa Fire Department. Welcome, Justin, and tell us what happened.
Thank you so much for having me. I'll start at the beginning. My coworker and I, Olivia, were looking at a story about a Tampa firefighter who had complained about incidents of racism in the department, or at least what he perceived to be so. And we had found out that he had been fired. This was earlier this month, late last month. And when we found out he was fired, we decided we wanted to see if we could get any records pertaining to why he was fired from Tampa Fire Rescue. And I initially made a request online, but then we were talking about it and we realized that we could probably get the records quicker if I just went and drove the mile and a half from my house over to Tampa Fire Rescue headquarters in downtown Tampa.
Because the fire department has an online portal where you can submit public records requests, right?
Yes, exactly. And a lot of government agencies do now, and a lot of them use this program called GovQA, which I don't always agree with using that because it's not the best way to make contact with people in public records departments. You can still use it, but you don't know who you're talking to a lot of times. So oftentimes a great way to do it is to also go in person and just see, hey, can I talk to somebody from the public records section? And then you can meet them. You can put a face to your name too. You know, you walk in, I've done this with other employees of the city of Tampa. I've gone in and said, hey, nice to meet you. Talk to them a little bit about their job. So that's kind of the expectation I had when I went to TFR headquarters in downtown Tampa, is I was like, oh, I'm going to get to meet this person I've been communicating with through GovQA. I'm going to get to talk to them about what I want. I'm going to do things the old kind of shoe leather way, just walk in and request those records, see if they'll tell you to wait for 30 minutes or so, and then they'll have them ready for you to look at. This has happened plenty of times. And so I thought it was just a run-of-the-mill visit to TFR. I get there in downtown, I go into the entrance, and they let me up to the third floor lobby. And when I walk up, they ask what I'm there for. And I tell them that I'm there to request to look at public records in person. And as I'm entering the lobby, one of the employees who's sitting further away, there are two employees in the lobby and one in a little side room. One of the employees says, well, he has to do everything online. He can only do things through GovQA. Requesting public records in person is not how the public records law works. And so that's right when I'm walking into the lobby.
And was this a high-level official in the fire department? Or what was
I think this person was more of like just a lower-ranking official at this point, and there were two of them in the lobby. And so I walk in, and that's the first thing I hear when I walk in the lobby, and I say, well, actually, you know, the law does say, Chapter 119 says that I can go in person to any agency and request to inspect in person. And as I'm saying that, then a higher ranking official walks up named Robbie Northrup, and he's the personnel chief. I didn't know this at the time, but he walks up and he says, well, we don't have the records you're requesting about this firefighter who was fired, Andrew Dixon.
Even though they're literally personnel records.
Yes.
This firefighter's record you're requesting is a personnel record.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. And at this point, it might have been just like miscommunication, you know. And so he said, Tampa Police Department has the records you want about Dixon. And that's because Tampa Police Department had done an investigation into claims that Dixon had made about the fire department. And I informed Northrop at that point that I already have those Tampa Police Department records because I had requested them multiple times throughout last year and then finally got them. So I said, what I'm looking for is any of the internal investigation or review that led up to Dixon's firing. So do you have those? And at that point, he said, oh, okay, and went into the back room. I go and sit on the lobby couch. And while I'm sitting there, I'm kind of like, let me just pull up this section of chapter 119 on my phone and get it ready just in case, right? Because I just got that feeling that they're not used to somebody walking in person and requesting records. And that's a real thing. You know, a lot of people just sit behind the computer now. A lot of people don't go in person and request records, but it is still allowed under the law. So I pull up the section on my phone while I'm waiting for Northrop, and he's in the back. Chief Tripp walks in, actually. I wave to her, say hello, and she walks to the back area where the personnel is. And then a few minutes later, Northrop comes out, and he walks up to me, and he says, you know, you just have to do everything online. You're just going to go that route. We're not going to talk to you about the possibility of seeing records in person. And at that point, I have the section of Chapter 119 pulled up on my phone. And, you know, they can tell me no. They can tell me no, you can't see records in person. But if they do, they have to give me a reason why.
Because there are, as we're going to discuss later in the show, hundreds of exemptions to public records laws.
Yes, yes, a ton. And so, you know, if he would have walked out and told me, hey, we need time to check for redactions and do X, Y, and Z, I get that plenty of times. And I'll say, okay, I'll ask maybe for more details. And that way I can go back to my editor or editors and say, this is what happened, you know, and this is why they're saying no. So I was trying to get to that part where I just read that sentence of the public records law that says, yes, I'm allowed to request to inspect records in person. And if you say no, you have to provide a reason. So that way I can at least have a reason why I'm leaving there empty-handed. But while I'm trying to do that, he's cutting me off saying, sir, I know the law. I know public records law. You don't have to tell me the law, while I'm trying to get out like that one or two sentences from chapter 119. It turns out, spoiler alert, he did not know the public records law. It came out later that he is not a qualified public records technician, so he didn't know the law when we were going back and forth. He's a personnel chief.
And apparently not has records. Not been trained on public records law either.
Yeah, exactly. So I finally get that little piece of the law out to see if he'll give me a response like, well, actually, we need some time. We need an hour or two to review it for redactions or whatever. He doesn't say any of that. I get the two sentences out or whatever I'm trying to get out from the law on my phone. And then he just turns around and walks away. By the way, that whole interaction, I'm sitting on the lobby couch, he's standing up. It lasted for about maybe 2 minutes. It wasn't long at all. So he turns around and walks away. And as he's going through the back door to where the personnel are, he turns to the woman in the lobby and says, go ahead and call TPD on him. And at that point, I was already grabbing my bag. I'm thinking, I'm going to have to go talk to my editors and say that they're not letting me look in person, but they're not giving me a reason. I'm grabbing my bag. I'm getting ready to go. But then I hear that and I go, what? Like, I was just kind of shocked and taken aback. And even the woman who we told to do it, even the woman who we commanded to do it, she had that same reaction. She was like, huh? And she like kind of started picking up the phone, but it was like, you know, midway, like in her hand, not all the way up. And she, you could tell the wheels were turning in her head, like, what is going on? And so I'm walking out with my backpack and I just say, as I'm walking out of the lobby, I say, calling the cops on someone for requesting public records would really not look good. And then I turn to the man who's at the door of the lobby and I say, you know, can you confirm the name of that person I was just speaking with? And he said that was Personnel Chief Robbie Northrop. So I walk out and I'm just like, okay, well, that just happened. So I have to let my editors know and let people know. So I'm on the phone with the editors, letting them know what happened. And then during that time, the city's communications director, Adam Smith, starts calling and texting me. He texts me, hey, do you want those records? Give me a call back. And then I'm on another call with other editors. And then I get an email to me and a couple of editors at the Times from Smith with the records, completely unredacted, by the way. It was 14 pages of unredacted records, so there were no redactions that they needed to make. And the email says, here's those records that Justin wanted. I couldn't get a hold of him on the phone. So the records were provided within about 90 minutes of the interaction and the police being called. And so that all happens. And then Mark Katchus, the editor of the Times, decides he wants to write a column about it. And when he works on the column is when we started getting other answers about how it all went down exactly.
Fascinating, though, and he did write a column about it, and it ran last week and in print on Sunday. And as he pointed out in the column, let that soak in. A reporter for the Tampa Bay Times asked to see public records, and the fire department's response was to call the cops.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Never heard that before. Did the cops show up, or did you leave before they...
I left before they showed up.
But they did show up.
Yeah, they did show up. And so that was a big mystery, as we found out, I think Katchus found out through Adam Smith that the cops did actually show up and that they were called. But I wasn't even sure that that woman in the lobby had called, because just the reaction from her, just kind of like, what? And then it turns out, as Katchus starts digging in, we're trying to get to that mystery of who did call the cops, because we found out she didn't call the cops. So think about that for a second. This woman who works underneath the personnel chief, Robbie Northrup, who ordered her to call the cops on me, refused a direct order from him. She ended up writing a statement saying, you know, I didn't have time to, was what she said in her statement. But this person whose career literally depends on this guy, who witnessed, who was a very close direct witness of this entire interaction, didn't call the cops on me when her boss told her to. So what does that say about the interaction, right? Anyways, but we're thinking, well, who did call the cops then? So we start digging around, and this took Katchus, I think he wrote it in the column, it was like 9 days of extracting information from the city. We were trying to get video from them. They said, oh, we can't share that because of security reasons. And they said,
let's stop right there for a second. So you asked for surveillance video, mm-hmm. which is very common these days. Yeah. You see it all over social media, see it on TV. Mm-hmm. The police will release surveillance video all the time. But in this case, their immediate reaction was no. Mm-hmm. That's exempt from the public records law for, quote, security reasons, right?
Yeah.
But it turns out they couldn't release it to you because they didn't have it.
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
There's no security cameras in that lobby where you were interacting with the personnel chief?
Well, I wish I could have gone back, but... I will say, I believe another reporter went to check and see if they saw any cameras in that exact area and said they didn't. But so who knows? It's kind of one of those things where now they're saying there's no video at all. Before they were saying they couldn't release that information due to security information exemption. But the big mystery at first was who made this call? How did the cops actually show up there? Kat just starts digging around. He pulls 911. Or not 911, but the call to TPD, and pulls the audio. And it turns out it is revealed that it was Chief Tripp herself who called the cops on me, who, keep in mind, was not a direct witness. The direct witness was the woman who Northrup asked to call the cops, who sat there the whole time and witnessed it. They're saying there are no cameras in that lobby, so Tripp couldn't have been watching through a camera what happened, you know. So Tripp is in the back, and the most we can guess or we can gather is that, you know, Northrup tells this person who works beneath him, call the cops on him. She witnessed the whole thing, and she's just like, what, why, and doesn't. And then maybe he wanders over to Tripp and goes, well, this is what happened. And Tripp takes him at his word, I think is what happened, and went ahead and made the call. And then we got these statements from the employees, and they're kind of conflicting. They didn't align in certain ways. They did go ahead and get their story together, saying that I was, being unruly or whatever else.
You had two people who said you were being, what, persistent?
Yeah, a couple
which
people.
As your editor, Mark Katchus, pointed out, that's a good trait for a reporter, to be persistent.
Yeah, and I think, like, the initial thing was, I was creating a disturbance, but all I did when I walked in was they told me I had to do things online, and I said, well, that's just not what the law says. It says I can't actually go in person, too. And I guess that was creating a disturbance.
Right.
So,
But I am curious, when did the city's communications director get involved in this? Because within 90 minutes, you had the records you were requesting. You weren't there when the police were called. At some point, how did he find out about what was going on?
No, that's a really good question, and I don't have that answer right now.
Or somebody had occurred to them, wait, we have a PR disaster on our hands here. We just called the cops on a reporter for making a public records request.
I can guess that. I'm not sure, but you know, I did start getting texts and calls from Smith about, I would say probably about like 40, 45 minutes after the interaction. So somehow, you know, somebody contacted him. I think they know the protocol is if something like that happens to probably reach out to him, and he starts going, well, you know, and he apologized in the article in a way, you know, it's kind of like a partial apology, I think. But I think at some point they realized, you know, let's just get these records over to him, and that the cops shouldn't have been called at all in a situation like this.
It is ironic that the editor's column this weekend was based partly on public records requests.
Yeah.
You know? But there was a reason you were seeking those public records requests, and we didn't know about the backstory, but you ran a story, maybe a week later?
Oh, actually...
within days?
Within the next morning, Olivia and I.
Because the story that you wanted to write was in those records.
Yes, exactly.
And what was that story about?
It was about a firefighter named Andrew Dixon, who last year had seen that fellow firefighters in his station that he works at, which is the one up by Busch Gardens, had hung, I think it was on the first day of Black History Month last year, had hung a monkey from the rafters with a little fake noose, and it was like a stuffed monkey. And then went to the press about that, or went to the media about that, and then not long after ended up finding a photo of himself printed out with the word monkey written across the forehead. And this like made big news last year, right around this time. And around that time, I had also started submitting records requests to see what was going on. It took months and months, but then finally in, I think it was November of last year, I got the TPD's police report, which I'm told nobody else was even able to get, even members of the fire union, that like people just didn't have this police report. The police report went into greater detail about how they investigated, how a cop initially showed up from TPD and kind of said, oh, I don't think this is a crime, then left. Then they sent, I think once it hit the media a little bit more, they sent more police out there, and they kept digging into it, and the FBI was involved at some point. I believe the FBI was involved for a little while and then kind of backed away from it. But then they started turning the investigation on Dixon himself a little bit, and then found that he was not always showing up to his paramedic classes, and then there was accusations of forgery. And then this came out in these records that I obtained from Tampa Fire Rescue as well, that was the reason that they fired him.
Well, when you initially heard about his firing, you must have been wondering, wait a minute, is this a retaliation?
It was, yeah. I mean, you always have to wonder things like that, right. Of course. But I had read the TPD report and saw that even back then, that TPD had kind of been digging into him.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand necessarily why the focus changed so abruptly. But there was a lot of information in that report that I can't pull off the top of my head right now. It was, I think, over 100 pages long. But you always want to double check the reasons why, you know.
Have you figured out why they were so reluctant to turn over these records, which, you know, frankly, it didn't look, it wasn't bad for the city, it was bad for the firefighter.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily, you know, it just shed more light and more detail on what happened. And that kind of surprised me too. It's like, I've been in situations where I'm about to obtain a record in person that really is kind of bombastic and like shows what happened. And it doesn't make the government agency necessarily look good. And they were much more kind of calm and professional and polite about it. So with this situation, I think maybe it was just touchy in multiple ways. I think with a lot of stories, you have situations where multiple things are true at once, right? Like something that happened was actually not right. Like when Dixon and another in the TPD report, when the Dixon and another black firefighter found that hanging monkey, they were both upset, you know? So it seems like there is some righteous indignation about that. But at the same time, they found this other stuff that he was doing that didn't look very good. And, I'm told that there are all kinds of things that go on with these classes and stuff like that. Something maybe more to dig into.
Right.
But yeah, so.
Well, this is a very unusual situation. I personally have never heard of a reporter making a public records request and the cops being called on them. But I wanted to bring in an expert on public records. Barbara Peterson is the executive director of the Florida Center for Government Relations. And Barbara, we're picking up some feedback there. I don't know if you have a radio on or a computer on, but...
No, everything's off, and I tried different phones. Let me try a different room. I turned off my computer. I turned off everything.
Okay.
So let me just go into another room and see if that gets better.
That's much better, Barbara. Hey, Barbara, are you there? Because we're not hearing any feedback now.
Okay, can you hear me, though?
Yes, here's what we should do at this point, Barbara. I'm going to give you another number. I'm sorry we're doing this live on the air, but this is live radio. If you could call back on 813-239-9663.
Okay, 239-9663.
Right, and we'll talk to you when you call right back.
Okay.
So, Justin... before we get to Barbara, has this ever happened to you before? You've had reluctance of getting public records, but never had this happen before.
Right? No, never the cops. And I've gone to police stations in person to obtain records that that definitely exposed something that maybe the department didn't want people to see, and they did not call themselves on me. So,
okay, we've got Barbara back on the line. Barbara, are you there? Barbara, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Thank
Perfect.
You. That's great. So we were just talking about Justin Garcia from the Tampa Bay Times, formerly of Creative Loafing, making a public records request at the fire department and then having the fire chief call the cops on him. Have you ever heard of such a thing?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
You know, when I was at the First Amendment Foundation, we routinely did public record audits where we tested for compliance with the public records law. And I worked with newspapers and radio stations all over Florida on those audits. And I can remember one where an editor sent his administrative assistant to a police department to ask for a public record. She made a request. She got a lot of pushback. I'm not remembering if she got the record. But as she was driving home, she noticed, or back to the office, she noticed someone was following her. And she got very frightened, so she called her husband, who happened to be a police officer. And he came and, you know, with sirens screaming and all of that, and stopped whoever it was who was following her. And it was an undercover police officer who was following her because she had made a routine public records request.
That sounds like something that would happen in some small rural
No, it was
backwoods.
Around Daytona Beach.
Daytona Beach, wow. Okay.
And there was another incident where it was a reporter had gone in maybe to a smaller municipality, someplace where he wasn't known, and made a public records request, and they said, okay, we'll have those records for you in 3 or 4 days, come back. So he said, okay. A couple of days later, he received the records in the mail, but he hadn't given them his address. They ran his plates through the David system.
Holy cow.
So, yes, we hear about this. I've worked with citizens for years. I mean, imagine a citizen in this situation, right?
Just right.
I always say, what would my mom do? And there was a man I worked with regularly who called me up one day, and he said, I was just escorted out of a public office by security because I made a public records request. And when I contacted the person in charge, they told me he was intimidating the receptionist. He was like 6'2" and had to wear an oxygen pack on his back. And with, the cannula up his nose, it was very obvious it was oxygen.
Yeah.
But intimidated the receptionist, so they escorted him out of the building. I mean, this happens all the time with people getting charged with trespass. It's really unfortunate, and we don't hear about it very often because, you know, people get intimidated.
Well, you also don't have as many newspapers, and you don't have many reporters out there to cover these things.
Exactly.
And if it's a citizen, they may not even hear about it. Let me just take 1 second to reintroduce our guests. We are talking about all things regarding records that belong to you, the public. This is Tom Scherberger filling in for Sean Canaan on Tuesday Cafe. We're talking with Justin Garcia, a reporter for the Tampa Bay Times, who just had the cops called on him for making a public records request. And Barbara Peterson, who is the director of the Florida Center for Government Accountability and works with reporters all the time and also publishes the Florida Trident, which I should disclose that I've just started writing for the Florida Trident. They're doing great work exposing secrets that the government doesn't want you to know about. If you'd like to join the conversation, please call us at 813-239-9663 or email us at dj@wmnf.com. We have gotten one email from a listener, David, who says that the story that Justin recounted is what happens when you have a city is run by a cop. What do you think? Do you think that is true, or do you think there might be something else that could explain the fire chief's behavior? Give us a call if you'd like to join the conversation. Now, Barbara, we were just talking to Justin about this one particular public records request, but he's had lots of experience making public records requests. Sometimes, Justin, they're routine. You get them no problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Other times, what happens? They just say no, or do they delay it, or what? Because maybe I should pause for a second, Barbara, and just explain to our listeners, Florida has a reputation for having one of the most open governments, or at least regarding public records and open meetings. And public records it's kind of the default mode is if it's a record the government has, it's public and there are exemptions, some things can't be released. What can you give us a very quick explanation for our listeners? What makes something a public record in Florida?
Well, it's quite simple, actually. It's anything that pertains to public business. And anything that is any form of communication that relates to public business is going to be a public record unless there is a specific statutory exemption. So in Florida, there's no balancing of interests by the custodial agency. A record is going to be subject to disclosure unless there's a specific exemption. So an agency can't deny the record simply because they think it would be, you know, it might be problematic for them.
And they're supposed to release it in a timely manner.
Right.
And
the law says reasonable.
Reasonable. Okay.
Right. And reasonable has been defined by the courts to mean the time it takes to locate the record, to review it for exempt information, and to provide a copy.
Now, sometimes
it take months or weeks, and
right.
In some cases years now, to get a public record.
We are in Sunshine Week, and it was created in response to the legislature passing lots of exemptions. We're going to get to that in a second, but one of the problems I think a lot of reporters and average citizens are encountering is they're being told no, and they don't know what to do.
Right.
And there's delays. There's obfuscation. Now, Justin, you had an occasion to request a public record that eventually you got, but before that, they reached out to the person you were investigating, right? Can you tell? You have a couple of examples of that, right?
Yeah. So I have a couple of good examples. One involves going in person to request a record. So last year, I had from an anonymous source got this tip to look up this body camera incident, and it just had the code for the body camera incident that police departments know what the code means, and you can request it through these body camera codes. And so it was a Tampa Police Department officer I didn't know what was going to be in the body camera video on the time, but I was told that it was kind of just outlandish behavior. I submit the request. At that point, the body camera turnaround, the body camera public record turnaround process was taking quite a while. So I think it was a couple of months that I was waiting for that body camera video of this Tampa police officer. And then while I'm waiting for it, the police department went ahead, because they knew I was going to receive the video soon, they went ahead and showed the video to the president of the Hillsborough NAACP, I think, to do damage control before the video comes out, because what the video showed was this TPD officer surrounded by people in a majority black neighborhood after an arrest, kind of gloating at them, telling them, "We run these streets," screaming at them, insulting them, kind of like trying to pick a fight with them, essentially, is what he was doing in this video. So I was confused, though, because I was like, I made this request months ago. I keep asking about it, and now you've gone ahead and shown the record that I requested to somebody else to try to be like, oh, you know, we're showing it to you first, and, you know, have that conversation before I release the video.
Not even the people shown in the video.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe they're worried about privacy. This was simply trying to get ahead of the story that
exactly.
you were going to write, right? And how did you find out that they called? This was Yvette Lewis we're talking about.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I can say for sure how I found out, but I did find out. I mean, I think it's pretty clear I found out. Yeah, she let me know that it had been, you know.
So, Barbara, what do you think of that?
Well, it's more and more common these days, unfortunately. Under Governor DeSantis, it's harder and harder and harder to get records. And frequently, you know, I have to believe it's because they don't want the information coming out, or in Justin's case, they want to spin the story before the story is actually written.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening more frequently. I mean, there are news organizations and citizens who have been waiting months to get records, and sometimes you just give up. Because there was one reporter I was working with who was trying to get records from the DeSantis administration prior to the last gubernatorial election. He made his request over the summer. The election was in November, and he waited and he waited, and I was working with him how to respond, what to do next, that sort of thing. And he ended up getting the records about 3 weeks after the election.
Well, that's, you know, delaying is sometimes as good as saying no. I mean,
yeah. And then,
well, news delayed is frequently news denied.
Right.
Because what's news today, 3 months from now, may not be, or it may not be as important.
And
that's, you know, it's hugely frustrating and, I believe, a direct violation of our public records law.
Yeah, and in this situation where they showed this video ahead of time that I'd been waiting on for months, I believe it was violating the public records law. And so I decided I'm just going to walk over there in person once again. I was at the downtown office in Tampa and just decided to walk over to TPD headquarters in downtown. And I arrive and I do the same thing that I do at TFR, except this situation is a little bit different because I know they showed this public record to somebody else first and that she hadn't requested it. So I let them know, like, hey, I kind of got you here. You know, I know that you showed this to somebody else. I want this record as quickly as possible, this video as quickly as possible. And I'm just going to sit here with my laptop in the lobby and wait for you guys to go ahead and produce it. And then we can move forward. And they did that. I waited in the lobby for about a half an hour. A spokesperson came out and said, it's being sent to you right now. So, you know, we're good now. And I say, okay, just kind of took it as it was and said, we're going to get the record, so we're good. And we put the story out about it. But that was, a very clear situation of one, you know, you can go back and forth about how long body camera videos should take, how long records should take. But Barbara's completely correct that one thing that I run into, and I think my colleagues especially who are trying to obtain records on the state political level are kind of like being slow rolled left and right. I've contacted FDLE, the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, about records before, and they've told me very clearly in an email, like, we have hundreds of requests in front of yours, and we'll get to it when we can. Meaning, I think that request is 2 or 3 months old now, you know, so it's something we run into all the time. It's a very real thing.
Well, Barbara, we have an email from a listener who's asked a very good question. Is there any legal recourse, Christina asks, that journalists and everyday citizens can take in the event of being arrested for trespassing or even just harassment when they're simply making a public records request? Or to bring it down a notch, is there anything anybody can do if you make a public records request and you know they have the record and they just won't give it up?
Well, what I always have suggested as well, and I've been doing nothing but open government law since 1991, go to the press. And let them know, let your local newspaper know that something very similar to what Justin went through just happened to you. Because this is important. We have a constitutional right of access to the records of government. So when you're harassed, trying to exercise that constitutional right, it's news, and it's important that other people know this. This is one reason, you know, I started FLCGA and the Florida Trident, is to try to fill that gap. Because, as you said, we're losing media outlets left and right, and there are very few reporters with Justin's, you know, tenacity left. And so we're trying to fill a gap there. But let someone know. You can call me for help. You can call the First Amendment Foundation for help. But we can help you. And if it comes down to a denial of public records, really the only effective recourse these days is to sue.
Well, we talked about how this is a violation of the law. Is this a criminal violation of the law? I mean, is there a...
It can be a criminal violation of law. Yes, there are two types of violations under the public records law. One is an unintentional violation. Oh, Justin, I'm sorry, I was out last week. I'm just now seeing your public records request. I'll get it to you as soon as I can. That could have been an unreasonable delay, but, you know, was it intentional? Probably not. Or there are intentional violations of law, which are criminal infractions. But it's very, very rare for a prosecutor to charge a government official with an intentional violation of the public records law. I've known it to happen once in how many years. And so it's not common. It's a little bit more common with the open meetings law, but still not much.
Why is it not common?
You have to go, you can go to court, civil court, and file a lawsuit alleging a violation of the public records law. And that sounds okay, except that those lawsuits are expensive and there are no damages. If you sue government for a violation of the public records law or the open meetings law and you win, government is required to pay your attorney's fees and court costs. But it's harder and harder and harder these days to find attorneys who will take these cases on either pro bono for free or something like a contingency fee where they know if they win, they'll get their fees. But these lawsuits, as I said, are very expensive, and they can take, again, years. One of the first lawsuits that the Florida Center for Government Accountability filed was in August of 2021, when we were trying to get access to COVID data from the Department of Health. That lawsuit was settled in September of 2023. So it took 2 years. We got the data under the terms of the settlement, and the department had to pay our attorneys. It was $150,000 paid to our attorneys.
Wow.
That's just not even half the ticket, because the attorneys for the Department of Health were making far more than our attorneys made. So, and those are tax dollars. We're paying to defend our government for violating our rights.
Just outrageous.
That's simply wrong.
If you're listening and have thoughts on public records laws, if you are a citizen who have been trying to get public records law out of your government, please give us a call at 813-239-9663. We've got about 15 more minutes left in the show. We'd love to hear from you. I did want to ask Justin one more question about a particular story that he worked on that had to do with body camera footage as well. Similar situation where you didn't get the record immediately, but they did tell the subject of the video about it, right? Tell us about that.
Yeah, and provided the record. Yeah, so I think at this point, a lot of people have heard about the Mary O'Connor story, but just for a little background, she was the former police chief of Tampa, and I obtained a body camera video that showed that she used her badge to get out of a traffic stop when her... She was pulled over by a Pinellas County Sheriff's deputy with her husband, Keith O'Connor, who's the head of code enforcement in Tampa. And after this incident all played out, she was asked to resign, and she had to step down as police chief and all of that. But
she showed her badge and kind of asked to get off the ticket. So
Exactly. Just kind of said, you know, kind of scratch my back kind of thing. It happens in law enforcement sometimes. And it led to this national conversation where you had on CNN an ex-LA County sheriff saying, yeah, we kind of do that for each other. That's just what happens. You know, it opened up this big nationwide conversation. Anyways, that all happened. But one thing that struck me as really odd is I was about to put out this story after receiving the body camera video from Tampa Police Department and or from the Pinellas County Sheriff's Office, I should say, because they had the body camera video. And when I'm putting the story out, like right when I'm about to hit publish, Tampa Police Department puts out a press release. And in the press release, they say what happened, like, oh, we're just being transparent. And they put the video that I had requested from Pinellas County Sheriff's Office in their press release. And this is like right at the same time that we're publishing our story. This is back when I was at Creative Loafing. So as I'm hitting publish, I look at this press release. I'm like, how did they get this video? So I get the story out, O'Connor resigns, but it's plaguing my mind, like, how did TPD get this video? Did they make a public records request? How did it go down? So I went and found out, and I did this by, if I'm remembering correctly, it's a little while now, but I did this by using a little thing where you play public records requests off of each other, where I made the same request for PCSO that I made to TPD for any communications between their command staff and Mary O'Connor. And I kind of did it in reverse for each agency to see which each agency produced. And so I put in both of these records requests, and TPD's results don't have any communications between Mary O'Connor and anybody at PCSO. PCSO's records didn't have any communications between them and Mary O'Connor. But TPD's records that I got did have communications between Mary O'Connor and the Pinellas Sheriff, Gualtieri. And I found this by looking in a little embedded code in the public records request that was at the top of the request. And I copied the link and I plugged it into my browser. And it was a text message from Gualtieri to Mary O'Connor. And it was a link to the video before my records request had been fulfilled. And he wrote in the text message, "Did you get it?" to Mary O'Connor. So then I had proven that the Pinellas County Sheriff had went ahead, and while my public records request was pending, and I was being told the reason it was pending is that they had to like make a redaction at the very end of this video, which didn't make sense why it was taking so long, but I was like, okay, I'll work with you guys. So during that time, Gualtieri had gone ahead and texted Mary O'Connor a Google Drive link with the video, said, "Did you get it?" So that way TPD could go ahead and get their game plan together so that way they could have the video and they could release it in a press release and say, oh, we're just being transparent. But what they did there was they violated public records law because Mary O'Connor and TPD didn't make an official request for that video. I had. What he did was just doing her a favor, giving her the video ahead of time. So I went back and proved that in a separate story that the sheriff had leaked it to O'Connor. Before the whole story came out. So that was another situation of, you know, and I will say most of the time, I love public records people. They're the best. Like the public records people I meet, I just have so much respect for them. They're so great. They're just trying to do the job. And most of the time they're doing a great job. And it's not always the public records people's fault that that information isn't getting out
well,
there.
These
sometimes
are often
it's more
lower level, truly public servants.
Yes, exactly.
I do want to stop for 1 second. We have a call from Sierra in Tampa. Sierra has a comment on our discussion. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Awesome. First of all, I wanted to say thank you so much for all of your reporting and all the hard work you've done to bring this information to the public, because this is really important information for us to have. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
And I had a question. I've always been explained, I'm born and raised in Florida, lived in Florida my whole life, and travel all over the country, and people always talk shit about our state. And one of the things I uncovered was the reason the Florida man is so popular is because our records are open and most other states don't let that information out as publicly as we do. And because of that, the Florida man is so popular, and you can't see that in other states because of our records being so open. Is that?
That's a good theory. It's one that I have embraced myself.
We do, but we can't see what they do.
Yeah, I mean, having worked in newspapers in two different states, I can tell you when I moved to Florida, I was shocked how much information we were able to get routinely every day from the police departments.
Exactly.
So I think that's probably true.
Yeah.
We're gonna ask Barbara Peterson to join in. We're gonna have to cut you off here, though, Sierra. Unless you have something else you wanted to say, that's a good point you're
just
making.
Just want to know why our information is so public, but we can't investigate the police. It's not fair.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that.
I think Sierra's right. It's not fair. And I'd like to emphasize something that Justin just said. The people who are in charge of providing public records are, by and large, extremely dedicated people. They're well-versed and well-trained. They know how to provide public access, and they're diligent in their job, but frequently they're getting pressure from their bosses or from others to deny or delay or obfuscate. And we see that time and time again. I think a recent lawsuit filed by the Washington Post. The Washington Post waited months and months and months to get access to the governor's travel records. And finally, in frustration, filed a lawsuit to get access. The judge ordered access, but then the governor's office intervened as FDLE, it was the custodian of those records, was trying to fulfill the Washington Post's public records request and the judge's order. When people from the governor's office intervened to stop the release of those records and ended up with one FDLE employee being forced to resign, another being forced to retire, and the third being denied a promotion. You know, so
simply for trying to follow the law, right,
for
Barbara?
Following the law and a court order. So, you know, this is unfortunately, sadly, happening more and more and more. The people who know the law and who are trying to follow the law are being frustrated.
Right.
And in some cases forced to resign because of that.
And this is with the existing law as it is on the books. We haven't even, unfortunately, we're running out of time. We've only got 5 minutes left here. But the legislature every year exempts information from the public records law. They did it again this year, right, Barbara? They had
18 new exemptions this year.
18 new exemptions. We did get an email from one of our listeners, Jack, who says, you know, Florida seems to have a good reputation for open government, at least prior to this administration. I'd like to point out that the Florida legislature exempted themselves from all of that oversight.
Now, actually, they didn't.
Explain that. There are some exemptions for.
There are some exemptions. So our Constitution gives us the right of access to the records of all three branches, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary. The legislature carved out a few exemptions for itself and adopted all of the exemptions under 20, under Chapter 119, but they are subject to the constitutional right of access. It's hard, however, as you might imagine, to get records out of the legislature, and it's harder and harder to get records out of the executive branch as well.
One thing I've noticed, one trend recently, and Justin experienced this with surveillance video, his editor, Mark Katchis, who wrote a column about his recent incident, tried to get surveillance video to see what the interaction was between Justin and the personnel chief at the fire department. And when they made the request, the reaction was, no, you can't have that. That's exempt because of security reasons.
Right.
Okay. But then they said, actually, you can't have that because we don't have any surveillance
right.
video. So their default mode is to say no to surveillance video. Is that becoming more common? There was an incident in the state capitol where a top DeSantis official left a meeting, ended up dying in the hallway outside of the meeting room, and there was a request for the surveillance video, and it took months to get it, right, Barbara?
Right, right. It's happening more and more. There, after 9/11, they did the legislature create an exemption for security information, including video, and they claim that to release the records, to release those videos, would reveal the location of the cameras. But most of those cameras are in plain view. And there was one lawsuit. It was a public transit, like a bus, city bus. And the allegation was that the bus driver had kicked a disabled person off the bus, physically kicked them off the bus. And a request was made for the video, and that request was denied. And it went to court, and the court held in favor of the public transit system, saying that to release the video would reveal the location of cameras. The cameras are visible.
Yes.
You can see them. There are signs on the bus that said, "You're being recorded."
I just assume I'm being recorded everywhere I go these days, tell you the truth. Yeah, I mean, but in the case of the DeSantis official who died of a heart attack, this Peter Antonacci, mm-hmm. and it turns out that he lay in that hallway for, what, 20 minutes before anybody?
Some minutes.
And
such a sad thing.
Which may be why they didn't want to release that video,
exactly.
Because eventually they did release the video, right?
Right.
Security concerns notwithstanding.
Many times the same response that Justin's editor got, no, you can't have it. Well, it turns out there is no tape. They weren't recording. So, or no, you can't have it. Or what I like is you can have it, but it's going to cost you $60,000.
Mm-hmm.
And when you keep pushing back, turns out it doesn't exist. It's supposed to exist. They were supposed to have done it, but they didn't. And so they're trying to stop you from finding out that they didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Well, this has been a great conversation. We're going to have to wrap it up very soon, Barbara. But before we leave, the Florida Center for Government Accountability is a nonprofit, and you are there to serve the public. Tell people how they can get in touch with you if they are having concerns of their own.
The best way to get in touch with us is to email us, and it is info@flcga.org. That's Florida Center for Government Accountability.org. Be patient with us. We're very small. We have only 3 people working, and so it can take me a little bit of time. I'm the one who answers all the emails.
And you all are also making lots of public records requests and publishing the results at the Florida Trident.
We help people and reporters make their public records requests, and we also we just picked up a story yesterday from a citizen who called us and said, "You won't believe what's going on." Our news editor, Bob Norman, said, "We're going to write about it."
Okay, we got to go. We are right out of time. This is WMNF Tampa. Live from NPR.